4th from 11 to 4 in the Sheridan College Golden Dome. Employers will be able to discuss various opportunities available and to answer any questions you have. This career fair is sponsored by Sheridan College, the Sheridan VA, and Wyoming Workforce Services.
Hi, this is Brad with PrimeRate Motors, where we are interested in paying cash for your vehicle, camper, or trailers. With the overwhelming demand right now, PrimeRate Motors wants to not only work with you to get you a fair price for your vehicle, we want to restock our lot with some local-owned units. Payments too high? We also do down trades. Stop out to PrimeRate Motors and let us evaluate your vehicle, discuss what works for you, and then make the deal happen. PrimeRate Motors and Super Trailer Store. See us online at PrimeRateMotors.com.
Do you dream about living in the country? Make your dream a reality with specialized lending from Rural First. Whether you want an acreage to build your dream home or a wide open space for your kids to play, Rural First has the financing to get you closer to what matters. Visit ruralfirst.com. NMLS IDs 4072495791355 and 628123. Equal housing lender, loan subject to eligibility and approval.
The following message presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Visit efirstfederal.bank.
What are you doing this weekend? How about your kids? Will they be outdoors, having fun, learning new skills, making lifelong memories? Get off the couch and get to Project Appleseed. Project Appleseed teaches traditional marksmanship skills while reconnecting Americans of all ages to the people and events of the founding of our country. April 20th and 21st. At the Sheridan County Sportsman's Association Gun Club. For more information, go to appleseedinfo.org.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning and welcome to Public Pulse. Now, once again, due to the weather, I have been forced to do this show remotely. And this morning, I am joined by the Sheridan Police Department Captain Tom Ringley, Lieutenant Dan Keller, and Communications Technician Cindy Shepherd Godwin. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Morning, Floyd.
Morning.
Now, I apologize for my lack of presence there in the studio, but I assure you, hang on tight, and we will get through this. Captain, how have things been down at the department?
They're going well. It's a snowy day in Sheridan as well, so we're keeping an eye on the roads and monitoring the flow of traffic. Everyone seems to be doing a good job driving slowly and carefully. We're big thing for the overall, from the 50,000-foot view for the department, it's budget, which is going to be presented to council in the next couple of weeks. So we have some anticipation about that. And otherwise, it's business as usual.
Now, I had a feeling this storm was on its way. We usually end up getting a large, heavy, wet snow sometime in the spring. Lieutenant Keller, I'm not sure if this is within your wheelhouse, but should folks kind of pay attention to any branches or anything that could be falling anywhere within the neighborhoods or the streets?
Yeah, I'd say that's a good general rule anytime.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, it is National Public Safety Telecommunications Week. And joining us is communications technician, Cindy Shepherd Godwin. Cindy, you were in here with us last year, weren't you?
I was.
Now, how long have you been a communications technician?
24 years.
24 years. That's quite a span of time. I bet you've seen quite a bit in that time.
Yep, I sure have.
Now, why did you get into this line of work?
Funny story, I was actually working here at the radio station, and a few fellow employees had left here and gone to the police department and had coaxed me to turn that direction because of the benefits that were offered through the city and just something new to do, and I decided that it was time for me to figure something else out and to maybe go into a career. And that's the direction I went. So that's how I ended up there.
What were you doing at the radio station?
I was one of the graphic artists for the Bounty.
Oh, fantastic. Now, what is your background? Is it art and communication?
Yeah, I went to college for graphic art.
Wow, isn't that always kind of the way? We go to college for this thing, but we end up doing this for our whole lives.
Exactly.
Now, if we look at what exactly a communications technician does, mostly commonly known as a dispatcher, what would you say that your duties are, your primary duties there at the station?
Well, we answer all phone calls coming into the station, and then we dispatch out fire, which we have 7 fire departments in the county, EMS, police officers, and sheriff's deputies. And then every once in a while, a highway patrolman will straggle into our radio also. And then we enter all warrants, protection orders, everything into the federal system so that it's seen all over the United States if somebody's ran. We help with officers keeping cases together, scanning stuff into cases for them. Keeping officers in line, which is a full-time job. we do a little bit of everything.
Now, when it comes to information, when people imagine an officer making a stop, that officer goes to their vehicle, they can fire up a computer. Are you the one on the other side of that computer?
Most of the time, no. They're running their own stuff through the system, stuff that's been entered maybe by us. Like I said, we enter warrants and stuff like that. But they're basically connected to the same system that we are in dispatch. What I am doing when they go back to their cars is if they don't understand, maybe a driver's license from another state has come up with a possible suspension or something like that, then I help them decipher maybe what it means, what's going on. I will confirm warrants for them if they do get a hit. I will also make sure that the people that they have in the vehicle, if they've ran more than one person, all are clear and have no warrants. I get them back up if I hear that they need maybe a little more than what they've got there. I do status checks on them to make sure that they're safe. You know, they get a 5-minute window. So if they're on a traffic stop every 5 minutes, I check them to make sure that they're okay. So that's what I do when they're...
Yeah, you're constantly checking on them if you haven't heard from them within a certain time frame.
Right.
Now, when it comes to the organizations themselves, all these different agencies that you're dispatching to an area, at what point do you decide, okay, they're going to need this, or they're going to need a fire unit, or maybe they do need backup and they're unable to call for that themselves? Do you decide these types of things?
I do. So we're in a team now where I always work with the same police officers. I always work with the same partner in dispatch. And because of that, we have the ability to get to know our officers really well and know voice inflections and stuff like that. And we can tell when an officer, if we do a status, and even though he may have said he's okay, we can tell that there's a voice inflection where it'll make us decide that we're going to go ahead and send somebody that direction. The officers are pretty good about picking up on that with each other also. When it comes to something like a medical or something like that, we have a pretty strict protocol that when certain things come in, it requires us to not just send law enforcement, EMS, and fire. Something that may need more manpower, we make that decision. I've always lived by the motto of when in doubt, send them out. It's easier to bring somebody back than it is not to have sent them at all.
Absolutely. And as people have said in the past, that's kind of the same premise as it's safer to have more than it is to need and not have it. And I think a lot of people can understand that. You know, I'll tell you what, if I was out there in the field, I would love knowing that there was somebody standing behind me ready to respond, even if I had the situation completely under control, because you just never know, right, LT?
That's correct.
And so it's always good to have some backup there. Now, Cindy, what did training look like for this position?
So I started, and I hate to say this, at the turn of the century. But
I know, right?
They send dispatchers down to the law enforcement academy just like they do police officers. We're also required to have a certain amount of training to keep our certification, and then we also have to have continued training throughout our entire career. So we usually start with 2 weeks down at the police academy, and then when I was in training, it was 3 months of what we call in-house training, field training course. We've pretty much stuck with that. I believe that the training at the academy isn't a full 2 weeks anymore, which is fine because by the time a dispatcher gets to the academy, normally they're pretty well trained by their department as is. So, and then we do a lot of in-house training also. Well, we do a lot of in-house training, so we're always training on something.
I actually spoke with the captain and the chief on the continued trainings there in-house. And with your time in behind the microphone, how have you kind of stepped up yourself? Are you a trainer yourself some of these new kids?
I've been there 24 years, and I've been a trainer for 23 of them.
Wow. What would you say you train the most?
Initially it was maps and resource materials. Here in the last few years, I've been training more, NCIC and, radio protocol and call taking, you know, who you pass it to, what agency you get going, what you can say to people, what you need an officer to talk to people about, basically just being that person that helps the new trainee, because everyone's on pins and needles when they start answering the phone and running the radio. A lot of dispatching is knowing having a second ear where you can hear your radio, you can hear the person on the phone still, and you're also able to dispatch at the same time. So I do a lot of second ear training, making sure that they catch all of those, because that is a huge part of dispatching, is being able to hear multiple things at one time.
Cindy was actually on a committee last year that kind of overhauled and audited all the training and task lists for field training for dispatchers. Just kind of taking a look and make sure we're, as things change and progress and systems and things like that and technologies change, that we're teaching the right things in the right order and not teaching things we don't need to anymore. So I did quite a few updates on that. Just kind of took a 1,000-foot view of the training program, her and a couple other dispatchers. Did a really good job with updating all that recently.
And I'll bet that has to happen quite often, because with the advent of technology, I mean, I was deployed in 2006, and some of the tech that I was using then, super advanced military stuff, I mean, that's all fallen to the wayside by now. I wouldn't know what the heck I'm looking at if I jumped in a Humvee today, I'm sure. I can only imagine the amount of technology that has advanced over the last 20 years, especially with this kind of a big boom in communications tech going forward, smartphones, texting. The amount of information that you can pull up right there at your fingertips has really come a long way. In that, without risking any type of operational security, Cindy, what would you say was the biggest advancement in technology that you've seen that you could tell a committee or tell the public, this really changed things?
I would say it's our emergency medical dispatch program. When I first started there, we had flip cards. And so there's several agencies still in the state of Wyoming that doesn't do what we call EMD. So basically you'll call 911, tell them what your problem is, what you need somebody for, and they'll just send them, but they won't help you along the way. What we do here is called EMD. So if somebody is having a heart attack, we will help them. You know, if they're unconscious, not breathing, we will talk them through CPR and everything like that on the phone. So we integrated a program several years ago that brings it all up on the screen for us. So we have an actual script to ask a person, and based on whatever their question or their answer is, it juts us to a next question, and it makes it a lot easier for the dispatcher. And I think it makes it a lot more precise to get the help to the victim. I would say that that was one of our biggest advances since I started there. And I think that it has helped a lot more people than what our old flip cards were used to doing. But it's definitely an advance.
That would be great if somehow we could gauge that, right? Like X amount of people were saved or recovered because the CPR that was administered or the Heimlich that was administered, right, or whatever emergency procedure by the book straight down that list, as right, opposed to the flip cards in the past.
Yeah. And there's a lot of questions on there that people, they get upset because we've had to ask them, but there's a purpose for the question. And mm-hmm, it's to update the ambulances, so the ambulances are prepared when they get on scene.
Absolutely. During my time in service, we had to know a 9-line medevac by heart. And a lot of times when you're learning that initially, you don't understand why you've got to send certain information. But after a while, you start to pick it up. Weight, what equipment do they need? If my EMTs are on the way to the house, I need to know, do we need a backboard? Do we need a ventilator? Do we need a defibrillator?
Right.
These types of things, that's critical information,
right,
needed instantly. Now, ma'am, what does a typical shift for you look like?
There's no such thing as a typical shift in law enforcement, because every day is different. You know, it's just like asking us an ETA on a police officer. Well, unfortunately, I can never give an ETA because you have no idea what's going to happen between when I've dispatched them and by the time they get there. So, you know, I'm currently on the night shift, and for the most part, night shifts are a little quieter. The calls that come in on a night shift are a little more intense. You don't have the people that are awake, you know, annoyed by the barking dog or something like that. So some days I'll come in and it will be a very long, long shift and nothing's happened. And other days we hit the ground running and we don't mm-hmm, stop until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning because everything's just blown up. And you think that it would be typically a Friday or Saturday that is a busy day, but it ends up being a Tuesday or a Thursday or something like that. So you can't ever guess what's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely. But is that, to an extent, is that a draw to the job?
Well, if you are an adrenaline junkie, like apparently I am, yes, apparently it is a draw to the job.
Right. After over 20 years, I think you just have to come to grips with it.
Right.
you might enjoy it a little bit.
Yep.
Now, I got to take a quick commercial break, but before I do, I just had one more question regards to training. Because when we call you, we are in crisis mm-hmm, the majority of the time. We are not having a good day. Do you undergo some sort of crisis management training or techniques to help calm me down and help me get through whatever it is I'm trying to get through?
100%. We all go through that. That's even started at the academy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep.
Because you are the voice of reason when right, my reason has left the room.
100%. Yep.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to have more with our Sheridan Police Department as we celebrate National Public Safety Telecommunications Week right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust presents Standing for a Cause at PO News today and tomorrow, 2 days, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Our goal is to support local restaurants and nonprofits. So today and tomorrow, you can help us support the incredible work of the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center.
First Federal will match the restaurant's proceeds up to $10,000.
Dining for a Cause going on today and tomorrow from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. with proceeds benefiting the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center.
Dining for a Cause presented by
First Federal Bank and Trust.
You hear that? Why, that's the sound of your lawn not getting mowed right. Those blades are out of kilter, and that carb is set to choke instead of yodel. You have to add air to your mower tires every time you use it? Well, that's not good for the environment. Using up all that air causing global warming? Hendo Service Center can take the hickey up out of your giddy up and have that mower running smoother than Tennessee whiskey. Hendo Service Center, located on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
Hi, this is Elizabeth,
JT,
and Addison from EBIA Hearing and Sound.
We are excited to share that Addison Dempsey, our new Doctor of Audiology, is now accepting patients.
We offer comprehensive care in our evaluations and technology offerings, and we look forward to helping you reconnect with your loved ones.
EBIA Hearing and Sound, 1273 Coffeen Avenue, 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
The 2024 Home and Garden Show is popping with fresh ideas for your spring projects around the house. Get creative this year. Let the experts at the Home and Garden Show give you the tools to do it. April 19th through the 21st at the Sheridan Ramada Plaza. Enter to win a $1,000 certificate to Landon's or purchase a raffle ticket for a $6,000 garden shed donated by A&B Builders and Western Building Supply with proceeds donated to the college construction technology students.
You've been procrastinating. Admit it, your car's been needing a tune-up, but you've just been so busy being awesome. How awesome will that summer road trip be when your car breaks down, leaving you stranded? Well, perhaps scheduling an appointment with Midas to get ready for summer driving is a good idea. Midas has savings on brakes, shocks, wheel alignments, transmission service, tune-up, and more. Keep your car running safe, smooth, and longer with a few more coins in your pocket with Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning I am broadcasting remotely from my home in Buffalo. I'm speaking with the Sheridan Police Department Captain Tom Ringley, Lieutenant Dan Keller, and Communications Technician Cindy Shepherd Godwin. If you've ever wondered who the other person is behind the emergency phone calls to 911, this is why. We have National Public Safety Telecommunications Week. It is observed every second week in April, and it's been set aside to recognize and celebrate the work of these telecommunicators helping to save millions of lives every day. Throughout the week of April 14th through the 20th, we will honor and thank our telecommunicators who have continued to serve in this extremely demanding profession. Cindy is one of these voices that jumps in there, and she helps to calm us in times of trouble and get us help when we need it most. Now, this can be answered either by Cindy or the captain, but where are the communications technicians in the operational structure of the Sheridan Police Department when we look at where those communicators sit?
They are full-fledged members of patrol teams. They just have, like any sports team, they're on the same team. They just have different jobs. Like a catcher and a first baseman have different jobs, but they're working towards the same goal. Our dispatchers and officers, same team, just different jobs, working towards the same goal. As far as we know, this is a pretty unique setup in law enforcement. Usually you have a dispatch center that may or may not be in the same building, and a law enforcement agency located somewhere else. And there's a potential for a disconnect with that system. And when Cindy and I both started, she actually did start in the last century. I started this century, a couple weeks apart. But we've always had fantastic dispatchers, but there's a lot more cohesion and sense of belonging with the structure we have now.
Absolutely. And Lieutenant Keller, you've been out on the street a lot. You've seen just about everything that Sheridan has to throw at you. What does the voice on the other end of that radio mean to you when you're out there alone?
Yeah, that's really important, and that's a lot of what we hire for, is people that can, you know, police officer or dispatcher, somebody that can bring calm to chaos. And that's really one of the, you know, all the technical aspects we can teach people on the job, but we need people that, for, as dispatchers, can bring that calm to chaos, and regardless if somebody's low or high, they're just being that steady voice, and hearing that can set the tone, and the last thing an officer needs when they're trying to calm themselves down en route to a hot call of some sort is to hear a dispatcher all worked up and excited. When the best, the most important thing a dispatcher can give them is all the best information. The second best is a calm attitude.
Yes, absolutely. This is almost, to kind of bring you down, this is just another day. This is just another day. We can get through this, no issue. And she's saying that simply through the tone of her voice. Cindy, if you were to say the favorite part of my job is, what would that be?
Oh, apparently it's working with the captain.
I think that's coming from an outside influence.
Right. You know what? I love working with these police officers, both the guys and gals. We are such an awesome team and family. In the last few years, since we've gone to the whole team aspect, it's just amazing how much of a family we have become. And I think that is probably my favorite part, is how I have expanded my family. I don't have a lot of family left here in Sheridan. And so I have made my coworkers my family. And I think that is 100% my favorite part of this job.
Now, I'm going to ask a question, and anyone can answer this. But in my military unit, we were National Guard from a very small town. That was a strength, but it could also be a major weakness. Whereas strength-wise, we were unified, just like a family. A lot of those senior NCOs were my big brothers, went to school with them. Some of them even picked on me when we were in school, to later become very close. But when we have a setback or a major loss, we all felt it together. Do you feel that is the exact same case, where it is both a major strength, but it could also hinder in some manner?
While we consider ourselves very professional, we're still a small department. So when we have a high, like the birth of one of our team had a baby girl Sunday, we feel
fantastic.
That and we celebrate, and those celebratory waves run through the department. And when we have tragedies like we did in February, then those hit home extremely hard as well. And it's because we all know each other. The LT rotates the teams every year or so we all get exposed to one another, and we all learn from each other. So we all know each other. There's, even if officers and dispatchers working on opposite sides of the schedule, we still know each other extremely well. These guys and ladies we work 12-hour shifts. They spend half of their week around each other. So, and we only hire people that fit in. So there's no one that we have no outcast, so to speak, like a lot of organizations tend to. There's not that bell curve of fitting in. Everybody fits in. So anytime anything happens to anyone, it's felt either positively or negatively.
There's no Farva.
Right.
For those who may know who that character
yes.
is.
Yes, yeah.
Now, one last question for you, Captain. How does the Sheridan Police Department like to observe Telecommunications Week?
We do. Well, first of all, we hope we treat our dispatchers well every day. To us, every day is dispatcher day or week. But Chief Kultiska read a proclamation to the council this Monday, and we may or may not order some food in. And it's just, it is good to have an official time to officially recognize one of the most important parts of our team.
Absolutely. And Cindy, I want to thank you so much for coming in and being a part of the show. I want to thank you and your team for everything that you do. LT, you as well. You know, we owe our PD our lives in many, many cases. And you protect us and you help to enforce the laws that we've put in place. So I want to thank you all very, very much for coming in this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Floyd.
Thank you.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with Buffalo Chief of Police, Sean Bassett. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust presents Danny for a Cause at PO News today and tomorrow, 2 days, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Our goal is to support local restaurants and nonprofits. So today and tomorrow, you can help us support the incredible work of the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center.
First Federal will match the restaurant's proceeds up to $10,000.
Dining for a Cause going on today and tomorrow from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. with proceeds benefiting the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center.
Dining for a Cause presented by
First Federal Bank and Trust.
Make plans now for a 16-day cruise in January 2025, setting sail from San Francisco, going to six different countries, including crossing the Panama Canal and ending in Fort Lauderdale. Just $100 reserves your spot with Latitudes Travel and Judy Fuller. Final payment due late October. Ocean view, balcony, and mini staterooms available. Call Julie or Rick and ask about the Panama Canal cruise at 674-0656 or stop by Latitudes at 157 West Brundage next to Real Deals in Sheridan.
Mandy Koltiska from Century 21 BHJ brings you this Pet of the Week from the Dog and Cat Shelter. 3-year-old Peter Pan is a lab retriever who can't fly, but his cute little face will give you a lift. He's independent, but loves playing fetch and loves to protect his people. 2-year-old Betsy is a domestic short hair who is a quiet kitty and would love a quiet environment. This slightly scaredy cat will love you forever when you make her feel safe. Mark April 26th on your calendars for something truly special. Join Compass Center for Families at the historic Sheridan Inn for the annual Light of Hope Breakfast, a gathering of hearts and hands dedicated to making a difference in Sheridan County. This year, they are recognizing the Sheridan County YMCA as their champion for children. And the best part, it's absolutely free. RSVP by April 19th by calling Compass Center for Families or emailing Andrea at compass4families.org.
Face it, you don't want to do your own plumbing and heating work or repair. You need a professional, and that is exactly what you will get if you work with Rapp Plumbing and Heating. Being fully licensed, bonded, and insured, you can rest assured that they will take care of your repairs and maintenance in the very best way possible. Call Rapp Plumbing and Heating at 429-1196 and rest easy knowing it'll be done right. This is Dan Rapp with Rapp Plumbing and Heating. And as we like to say, if you find a leak, let me take a peek.
The grass is greening up and things are happening at Kendrick Golf Course. The course looks to be in great shape and the clubhouse is prepped for use. While there are a lot of new things happening, rates are still extremely reasonable, making Kendrick Golf Course Sheridan's best golf value. Whether you are an avid golfer or someone just learning the game, Kendrick is the perfect course for you. Golf this season at Kendrick Golf Course.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. I am doing the show via remote due to old man winter kind of rearing his head one last time, hopefully one last time. And for the second part of our show, I am joined by Buffalo Police Department Chief Sean Bassett, also by phone. Good morning, sir, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Floyd. How you been?
I've been fantastic. It's great to hear from you. It's been a while since we had the opportunity to talk to you. And
yes,
it's a good time because it is National Public Safety Telecommunications Week.
Yep.
Sir, how many telecommunicator techs do you guys have over there in Buffalo?
So we have seven. We're filled for seven, which we're thankfully at full strength. And I also have Erica McCarter, who is our public safety administrator, who's also a professional dispatcher. So she kind of can jump in and help out when we need her. So I have eight at the helm when I need them.
That's fantastic. Now, is Erica there with you?
Unfortunately, she's not, but I can call her in here, and I can bring her in if you'd like.
Oh, that won't be necessary, sir. I was just wondering if she was sitting there beside you.
No,
I was wondering. Well, hey, if she's got work to do, I'm not going to get in the way of that.
Right.
Where do the telecommunicators fall in the structure of Johnson County and the Buffalo PD?
So, they're just with us, just like patrol. I mean, they're located in the front of our building. So as you come in the lobby, our 911 center is right there. And they're just kind of like I think the lieutenant was saying, they're just another part of the team. We cannot do our jobs without them. I kind of talked about it a little bit last night at our city council meeting, and just expressing how important it is to have that calm voice on the other side of the radio when things are going bad. I respect them so much because in a very large agency where I came from, we had a 911 center, which was in the downstairs of our circuit court building, which is about the size of, you know, what our police station is. So it was giant. We had 911 call takers, and they would then send the call to the dispatchers. Here, you're dispatching and taking that 911 call at the same time, sometimes doing both, plus, you know, getting on the radio. So they multitask so well. Sometimes if I'm in the office and there's a crash from the interstate, the phone's blowing up, I try to jump in and help out. And I can say I probably don't do a very good job of it, but yeah, just get to see how talented they are and what they can do under such stressful situations.
And it is really a very specific skill set. Cindy, the telecommunicator from Sheridan, was talking about that second ear, being able to listen to two separate conversations while also trying to relay information to your officers out in the field. I mean, that in itself takes a lot of practice. And it does take kind of a development of a skill that very few people actually have. Now,
absolutely.
When it comes...
Oh, I'm sorry, Floyd.
No, please, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that radio ear is what we call it, right? It's you do have to develop that. Even the guys on the street, when you're a new officer and you're waiting to hear your call number, it's amazing how you can pick that out of just about anything. But again, that develops over time, and this is the kind of job that you just, it's on the job training. I think we do a lot of training, but the more, obviously the more experience you get, the better you become. And so, yeah, she's 100% correct in that.
Now, sir, when it comes to where you came from, a large metropolis area, I understand, you know, there's a lot of different techniques that you got to use when your population is that vast.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not going to downplay anything that, say, like a large 911 center has to undergo. But
right.
Can you tell me what the difference is and how vital you feel it is to have that cohesion, being able to walk in and see your dispatchers just like you're able to walk in and see your officers? What does that do for you and your unit?
Oh, I love it. You're right, Floyd. You know, coming, I knew a couple of our dispatchers when I would work midnight shift. Where the precinct that I worked is where our 911 center was located. So I could go in there and say hello and bring drinks or food, you know, but for the entire other part of the department, you know, unless they're in Towson, they could never go. Here, I spend a lot of time in dispatch. I rely on them for a lot of information. And our officers can come in, they spend time with them. So it's not just a voice, right? There's a face. I think Cindy talked about it, about the cohesion, about how close we are. I consider us a family, Floyd, because we do spend so much time together. And I think this makes it difficult on our dispatchers is we're such a small community. Where I came from, 99% of the time, you wouldn't know that person on the other line. Here, you get that call on someone's worst day, and that could be your neighbor, it could be a friend, it could be a close friend, it could be family, and they have to still step up and do the job. And I think that's where the difference lies, in that they have to deal with people that they know. I mean, and information, and still have to maintain their calm. And that's got to be difficult. That's the hardest thing for me, is dealing with folks that I deal with out of work, and then knowing that I may have to go to a horrible situation and you still have to perform. So kudos to them for being able to do that, because I think that's the biggest difference between the metropolis and here. You know, you might just dispatch a rollover call and you might know that car or that vehicle or the person that's calling. So it's tough on them.
Absolutely. And I can testify to that. Living in Buffalo, I had an emergency a number of years ago, and the EMT who responded was my mayor.
Right.
And having that small town cohesion, he was absolutely professional and great, but he's the mayor. So he walked in, he knew me, I knew him very well. Mm-hmm. But in a way, that seemed to help out a lot. He didn't have a lot of ground to cover when he was trying to figure things out. So it can be quite a challenge.
Yep.
Now, what type of training do your techs go through in-house, sir? Do you set aside a number of weeks throughout the year, maybe training hours that you have to ensure that they receive?
Absolutely. So not only do they, you know, go to the academy, I'm big on training. Flo Gullick is our dispatch supervisor. And so we do a lot of not just online training, but I've tried to get them out to different conferences, mental health is always a big thing with not just the police department, but our dispatchers as well. We can't forget about them, that, you know, they're hearing and dealing with the same things that we're going out and seeing. But when you're on the phone with someone that, you know, is suicidal, or, you know, they hear that gunshot in the background, like that takes a toll. So I'm big on them reaching out and mental health, but, you know, they have to maintain their certifications, right? So they have so many hours plus time to advance from, you know, a basic dispatcher to advanced to professional. So there's hours of training they have to maintain through that. But I'm kind of big on letting folks pick the training where they think they need it, or to pick that avenue, whether it's an officer, you know, if they're they really like the drug part of the job, then, you know, try to steer your way, and so that when you show up every day, you're still loving your job. And so they go through a litany of training. We have EMD, which is our medical online. So if somebody gets they get a call for someone maybe having a heart attack, they can jump right in and start giving instructions. And so, you know, that's starting to come into play a lot. So that emergency medical dispatching. So they are on the phone with LifeLight. Our dispatchers have the power to basically, depending on how that call comes in, they have the discretion to go ahead and just start LifeLight before we even get anybody out there. And they've managed to do a very good job with that. One of our dispatchers landed a helicopter up on a search and rescue where it was a 60 by 60 open area that they were able to get that chopper in there that saved that young man's life, or else it would have taken them hours to get him out of there. So it's pretty special. You know, we have text to 911. So now we have the ability, if they're up on the mountain, no cell service, they can go through the satellite, they start texting, our dispatchers can text them back and get information. And so they're not always just a phone call. Sometimes it's just them texting and getting the emergency services started. So a lot of technology, which we have a couple young dispatchers that pick up on it very fast, and they're doing a great job.
Well, that's fantastic. And I'm not sure, sir, if a lot of people in the general public would understand how vital communications truly are when things start to go sideways on an operation or during a call, when all of a sudden, you know, having that other individual on the other end of the line, being able to react within a second's time to get help, to get backup, to respond to something medically. It is absolutely vital. The telecommunicators within our operations are extremely vital to the entire operation itself. Sir, what would you like the community to know about the communications team there in Buffalo that we may not?
I just think that we have to remember sometimes, Floyd, when they call, sometimes you're not the only person that's calling, right? So if we have two dispatchers on, sometimes, Floyd, the way our schedule works, they work 12-hour shifts, so there might be one dispatcher on from 6 in the morning until 11 when the mid shift comes in, and they get inundated with phone calls. It's just be patient. You know, they're doing the best that they can. And provide as much information as you can. I think sometimes that's a hard part. We'll get a 911 call, and the more information that that dispatcher can get, sometimes that's the difference between sending a, you know, a helicopter, a fire truck, two officers instead of one officer. So I think that would, that's my biggest thing. We're here 24/7. We're always open. We don't close. So I think for the general public to know that we're inundated, and I wish sometimes, I actually walked some of our city council members through dispatch just to show the amount of stuff that's in front of these folks. It's not just when you call 911, they're not just on a telephone. I mean, they have four different screens in front of them. They are putting stuff into our CAD system, which then goes right into our reporting system. So yeah, they're under a lot of stress and do a lot. So just be patient, and if they can provide as much information they can, that helps us the most.
They are gifted multitaskers and gifted listeners. That's one thing that I really feel. Now, one thing that I wanted to touch on, you, we only have a couple minutes left, sir, but you recently praised the TAC-1 training you just completed over here in Buffalo. Can you tell us a little bit about what that training is and who took part?
Sure. So for us, it was our police department, the sheriff's office. We had some game and fish. We had highway patrol. And basically, we, for the last 3 years, we've been using different schools. Everything was pretty much a live fire exercise with some munitions, going through different scenarios. We had several students from the high school come and help us with some of our actors, which put a different feel to it and put us under a little bit more stress. And so it's just great training. And for us to train together with different departments, because that's how it's going to be in the real world. It's going to be either a city officer, a deputy, or a game and fish might be close when I show up, and we're going to go in together. And so it helps with that unity, and everybody knows how we train and how we're going to react. So just a great piece of training.
Now, it might take people, kind of put them back on their heels to hear Game and Fish, but Game and Fish is a law enforcement agency, isn't it?
That's correct. Yeah, and they're armed, and when that call comes out, you're not going to go. You're going to go because that's what we're sworn to do. And so when they show up, we need to know, like, hey, we're going in together, and this is how we're going to operate. So I think it's important that there's interagency training. So.
Now, how long does this type of training take for you to organize, sir, to get everybody kind of on the same sheet?
It takes a while, and thank you very much to Charles Oski, the superintendent. He actually scheduled this, put this together, and helped us immensely. So without his help, I don't know if it would have gone so smooth. But between scheduling and shifts and guys that work midnight and whatnot, it's a chore, but everybody is more than willing to come to it and suck it up for the benefit of the community, because it is absolutely necessary.
Now, when it comes to the amount of individuals involved in this this TAC-1 training that just took place, how many people in total would you say were there?
Well, it probably was 15 or so law enforcement, and then probably about the same in students that came to help us, plus our county attorneys were there. Tucker Ruby came, Josh Stensis, our two county attorneys, they were involved. They came as observers and actually went through a couple of the different scenarios. So, I mean, how cool is that if your county attorney comes?
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Now, with the training of other agencies involved in this, are there certain certifications or anything that you were able to give with this, or is this just one of those things where this is part of everyone's job?
I think a little bit of both. Yes, we do get hours for our post for our certifications every year. We need to have so many hours to keep our certification, but this is above that. This is all about protecting our kids and protecting our community and doing it together. That's the number one goal in this.
Absolutely. And, sir, I want to thank you so much for being able to jump in at the last minute and have this conversation with me. It kind of fit out pretty good because it's Telecommunicators Week, and I'd love hearing about the people over here in Buffalo and learning about what they've got to go through in the small rural-type community.
Yes, they are special people for sure.
I want to thank you so much for jumping in this morning, sir. And you and your team, be safe. And once again, have a fantastic week. And be careful driving out there. It's pretty snowy.
Thank you, Floyd. It was great talking to you, and I hope to hear from you soon.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust presents Standing for a Cause at PO News today and tomorrow, 2 days, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Our goal is to support local restaurants and nonprofits. So today and tomorrow, you can help us support the incredible work of the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center.
First Federal will match the restaurant's proceeds up to $10,000.
Dining for a Cause going on today and tomorrow from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. with proceeds benefiting the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center.
Dining for a Cause presented by
First Federal Bank and Trust.
Attention breakfast enthusiasts! McDonald's is introducing a new trio of bagel sandwiches. First, the bacon, egg, and cheese bagel. Or sink your teeth into a sausage, egg, and cheese bagel packed with flavor. But wait, how about a hearty breakfast experience? Steak, egg, and cheese bagel. That'll satisfy your morning hunger. Delectable bagel creations are available exclusively during breakfast hours only at McDonald's, Sheridan, Buffalo, and Gillette.
Hi, my name is Desiree Wills with Volunteers of America. Join us Thursday, April 18th at the Sheridan Community Fairgrounds for our Empty Bowl community event. This family-friendly event features gourmet soups donated by local restaurants, churches, and other organizations. There will be music, children's games, and even prizes. Tickets may be purchased in advance on the VOA Northern Rockies website or at the door. The Empty Bowl community event is 5 to 6:30 p.m., April 18th.
Sponsored in part by your friends at Sheridan Media.
Admired and sought after for both its fresh interpretations of classical music and works from 20th and 21st century composers, the award-winning Borromeo String Quartet will take the Wyo Theater stage tomorrow evening at 7. The Borromeo String Quartet, tomorrow night at 7 at Sheridan's Wyo Theater. Get your tickets today at the Wyo Theater box office or online at wyotheater.com. Live music and dancing are back for a second round. Swing into Sheridan is back with another live music event for all ages at the Sheridan Inn. It's something fun and safe for everyone. The upcoming show is April 26th, featuring Brandon James and the Yehus. The cost is just $10 a person, so swing into Sheridan with the music of Brandon James and the Yehus, Friday, April 26th, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the historic Sheridan Inn, sponsored in part by our friends at Sheridan Media.
Have you been into Connect Home Center and seen their store remodel? You'll be inspired with all their new displays. And Connect is now an authorized Marvin window dealer. As part of their remodel celebration, you can enter the Connect Home Center Spring Sweepstakes for a chance to win a $300 Connect gift card. Enter for a chance to win on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com now through April 26th. And swing by Connect Home Center at 1836 South Sheridan Avenue in Sheridan for all your spring...